Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Last week, the Department of Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General released a scathing report on the Indian Health Service and its role in the opioid epidemic. The Indian Health Service, also known as IHS, is the federal agency responsible for providing health care to indigenous communities throughout the U.S., with 24 hospitals serving more than 2.6 million people. According to the Inspector General's report, five different IHS hospitals they reviewed were prescribing opioids in high amounts exceeding federal regulations and placing patients at risk of dependency and overdose. The Inspector General also found that hospitals did not always screen patients before prescribing opioids or use prescription monitoring programs that can deter abuse and addiction. Many IHS hospitals are located in remote areas throughout the country, and the agency has been historically underfunded, making treatment difficult to access. This is especially troubling for a population with limited resources and one that has some of the highest rates of opioid addiction in the country. Joining us to discuss all this is Felicia Fonseca, Northern Arizona reporter for the Associated Press. She focuses on Native Americans for the AP's race and ethnicity team. Felicia, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us about the initial findings or the top line findings of the report that really looks at five Indian Health Service hospitals.
Sure. The Office of Inspector General for the Health and Human Services Department released an audit on Monday that looks at five of the roughly two dozen hospitals that are run by the Federal Indian Health Service across tribal lands. And that report looked at whether the hospitals were following their own policies in describing and dispensing opioids and found that many times they weren't, and as a result, were putting people at higher risk for opioid abuse or overdoses.
Now, was there anything about the hospitals, like in terms of where they were located or why they were audited?
You know, the Inspector General's office said it looked at a few things when deciding which hospitals it was going to review, looking at the rate at which they prescribed opioids, looking at data over a certain number of years, and they were really trying to represent some geographic diversity. So we've got one hospital in Minnesota, North Dakota, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arizona represented in that. Each of them is in a different agency, as the IHS calls it, so overseen by different regional leadership.
We've done a lot of reporting here on The Takeaway about how the opioid crisis has affected Americans across the country, but we often don't hear as much about it in indigenous communities. How bad or how broad, should we say, is the opioid crisis in among indigenous populations?
The OIG's report makes some notes about the rates at which American Indians and Alaska Native communities are experiencing, you know, problems from overdoses. In 2017, they said Native Americans had the second highest rate of opioid overdose out of all U.S. racial and ethnic groups, but it's been worse before. So the CDC looked at rates, you know, from 1999 to 2015 and found then that the same population had the highest rate among all groups in the U.S.
Who is responsible for dispensing these opioids? Was it the hospital staff or the Indian Health Service, or is it still hard to tell?
Well, the Indian Health Service runs the hospitals, and so people who work for the Indian Health Service would be responsible for dispensing those. Each of the hospitals has a pharmacy, so if we go, you know, anywhere in the U.S. and pick up our medication at a pharmacy, that would be the same as it is at IHS.
Felicia, what are some of the challenges for accessing opioid addiction treatment in indigenous communities? I mean, do these communities have access to adequate programs to treat addiction?
You know, a lot of tribal communities, because in rural areas, struggle to have the, you know, substance abuse services for people. But that's been a push through multiple congressional hearings that had focused on, you know, IHS policies. IHS has also said that it's taken some efforts to, you know, create a website and make sure that people are aware of the prescribing rates and the dispensing rates among its own facilities. They have trained their providers in giving out Narcan that will reverse the effects of opioid use.
Considering this audit, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little more about the state of the Indian Health Service in general and the hospitals that are part of that network. Are they being funded adequately?
No, the IHS is chronically underfunded, and that's been subject of multiple congressional hearings over the years and efforts to increase the budget of IHS. IHS is a primary health care administered to all Native Americans, so about 2.2 million people in the U.S. There were also a lot of problems with trying to attract and retain people to Indian Health Service hospitals, and again, often these are in rural areas where it's just difficult for people to find themselves, you know, attracted to live in a place that has, you know, little resources. But there are also committed people who have been at IHS facilities for a long time. About half of the money that IHS gets is sent directly to tribes and tribal entities to directly run hospitals themselves. So there's also that, and those hospitals, you know, are not subject to this audit here.
Given the lack of federal funding that you just described, do the problems really begin or end at opioid distribution, or do they extend to other parts of this community, which could be chronically underfunded and perhaps in other areas of healthcare?
Yeah, there have also been other findings with IHS when it comes to the, you know, the amount of time that patients have to wait to receive any care at IHS. Some facilities have been subject to either temporary or long-term closures because of lack of providers. There's a constant shuffling of providers around IHS facilities. So it definitely doesn't, you know, just touch on the opioid crisis.
When we think about 2020, one of the issues that has come up with the Indigenous population members that we've spoken to, healthcare is at the top of the list. Has it gotten the attention of any of the 2020 presidential candidates so far? And I guess my next question would be, is the federal government doing anything to address this at the moment?
No, I haven't been tracking the presidential candidates closely enough to see if they've sort of honed in on healthcare. Obviously, multiple members of Congress mention it, especially those who have IHS facilities in their districts. There's always a push to get more funding for IHS, and you know that goes to the channels, and it's not always successful.
Well, given the recent attention on the opioid crisis, I'm wondering, do you think that this particular audit might change that?
Not sure. We did get a response, you know, from a tribal leader and somebody in Senate Indian Affairs saying, you know, they want to make sure that those more than dozen recommendations that the Inspector General put in the report are followed up on, that IHS has some oversight, that, you know, these don't fall by the wayside. As far as, you know, funding that comes along with that, that would be up to Congress.
Felicia Fonseca is a reporter with the Associated Press based in Northern Arizona. Felicia, thanks for being with us.
Sure thing. Thank you.